Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. I am not sure if anyone is listening live. I'm doing this via blogtalkradio.com. For the first time, I figured I would try it out. A, I'm solo. B, I got all the time in the world. So if you are listening live, hit me up in the chat and say, hey, I think that the show is live. Or A, I can hear you. Everything is working the way it's supposed to. If you want to call in live, 929-477-2456. Do not get rid of the old number, okay? Don't even save this one at this point. I don't know how this is going to work. I'm just testing it out. Oh, here's what's going on in my world. It is both a annoying and fun week at the same time. Without going into too much detail, my wife's someone is ill on my wife's side of the family. So my wife had to go home to help out with her father. All is well and good. So no need for sympathy, no need for worries, no need for any of that. But I am solo. And what's great about that is that I took some time off work because obviously I can't just get up at 2:30, leave the kids by themselves. The thing that sucks about kids these days is at 8 and 5, they can't get up, make a breakfast for them and a sibling, and then walk to the school that's just around the corner. Evidently, that's illegal, he said, using air quotes on an audio medium. But the nice thing about it is that it has gotten me back to the good old days, the days where I didn't have a job, and that was my gig. My gig was getting up and feeding the kids breakfast and doing all of that stuff. And I got to be honest, I really, really, really missed it. It's been refreshing. And I know that it's because it's twofold. I don't also have to work. I don't put in an 8-hour day or a 9-10-hour day and then come home and then I'm in it with the kids. And excuse me, my sniffles, I'm for some reason stuffed up. But I also have the added perspective of having to do that and then come home and be with the kids. And now I just have to be a dad. I did it Monday. Today is Wednesday. So today, Monday, Tuesday, I'm going to have it tomorrow. And then Friday, back to the grind. Going to enjoy the weekend. And it's great getting up. I know this is going to sound annoying. It's great getting up at 6:30 in the morning, making breakfast for the boys. I made them some scrambled eggs, some bacon, because Natalie pulls all that off. And the fun part about it is Jacob, my older son, he's very analytical, very overthinking. I don't know where he gets it from. And so he's got to make sure that I understand the way things go. Now, the problem with him telling me that is that I am not, prepare yourselves, I am not the guy who's really good at being told what he should do. I know. Turns out I do not like to be micromanaged. So he says to me, he gets up in the morning, and I tell them before they go to bed, I go, okay, tomorrow morning, you have to get dressed, get shoes on as soon as you get up. Because I don't kind of really know what the drill is. I know that Natalie feeds a breakfast. Usually she has it sitting on the table so that when they wake up, she's getting ready in the shower and she could go. So anyway, Jacob gets up. He starts getting dressed. I had to wake them up because, of course, we're dealing with this on the fucking daylight savings time. Oh, my God. You know what? I might have to take a break after I get through with this and talk a little bit more about daylight savings time. How the parents of especially small children haven't just gone to a revolutionary level state of rage and written letters to senators and representatives to say or just why there isn't an exodus to Arizona just to avoid this dismal, horrible time that comes around twice a year. It's not even like a holiday where you get to go and be awkwardly around your in-laws once a year. It's no, twice a year we go through this BS. And they trick you. They trick you in fall by going, oh, you get an hour. You gain an hour. But it's still weird. It's still groggy. All of a sudden you're coming home and it's night like you're some kind of vagrant. But anyway, so now I got to wake him up at around 7:30. Normally I'd like them to be up at 7. We got to be walking out the door at 8 to get him to school at 8:05. Now, just me rattling off those times, you could already get an idea of what my wife has to deal with. As far as anal retention. I mean, it's just you couldn't fit a grease BB up my butt. So I get up, Jacob's out here, and then he comes out with his backpack and he looks at me and says, "Where's my lunch?" I said, it's in the fridge. Like, he gives me the, oh, that's a demerit. Like, he goes, well, you're supposed to have the lunch here so that I could put it in my backpack and it's ready to go. I said, well, I don't have that right now. He goes, well, that's how mom does it. And here's the other thing. Turns out I don't like to be told when somebody else is doing the job that I'm now doing. I know. Now, reality wants me to say that I'm the only person who's like this, but I would venture a guess that a lot of you are also like, listen, mom's not here right now. Dad's on watch, so we're all going to just buckle up and do it dad's way. God forbid you learn to adapt in your life. So I said, trust me, the lunches will be handled. Don't worry about it, son. So then he goes, well, what time is it? And I said, 7:30. He's like, we're already supposed to be eating breakfast. I said, breakfast is about to hit the table. This middle management son of a bitch living in my house. And that's not a disparaging remark towards my wife. I mean to call her a bitch in the most loving way possible. So anyway, so I get the breakfast ready. I'm making scrambled eggs. I'm doing bacon. I got strawberries cut up, bananas. I'm killing it, man. Mr. Mama like a motherfucker. And so I get the they're all eating. Jack gives me a little grief about how he doesn't like scrambled eggs. But unfortunately for him, I'm on a big, like, no sugar for breakfast. I want to get some fat. I want to get some protein in you. And I want to get some, I don't know what it is. Simple carbohydrates or complex. I feel like it's simple, but complex sounds more healthy. But anyway, some fruit, something like that in them. Not just bread covered in sugar is what I'm going for here. So I said, well, you got to take at least 2 or 3 bites because I really got to get you used to eating eggs because they're good for you, blah, blah, blah. So we have that fight. I win. He eats his eggs. He's like kind of okay with it, blah, blah, blah. So now it's time to start brushing teeth. Now, this was the routine that I had before I started working is that I would, 10 minutes to 8, it would be like, that's brush teeth time. So I always was keeping an eye on the clock. And then whatever we were, I would be giving him, okay, 5 minutes and we're wheels up. Boom, boom, boom. So then 10 minutes to 8, I go, okay, let's go brush teeth. They put their plates away. We go wash hands. We're brushing teeth. And Jacob's just kind of looking. He's like, what time is it? I said, it's 7:45. He's like, I don't know. So we brush teeth. We get in there. We're walking out. And Jacob goes, what time is it? I said, it's almost 8:05, which was my time to walk out the door so that they're at the school by 8:10. Bell rings at 8:15. Everybody walks away a winner. He looks at me and he says, wow. And I said, what do you mean, wow? He goes, I got to tell you, I didn't think we were going to make it out in time. I said, you do realize, son, that I did this for years. Years, this was daddy's domain. Daddy's, this was my house in the morning. I made the breakfast before your mother did it for 2 years. Now, I'm not trying to say or throw my wife under the bus. I'm not doing any of that, okay? I'm just saying I handled it. I had it on a lockdown situation before my wife took over. And he seemed to be just flummoxed by what dad was able to accomplish. So I walk him to school and then I come back. The real fun for me today happened today because they do packets. And I talked a lot about it last week about if you are feel like you're not really in the know or you want to find a way to meet other parents within the school or the community, get involved in PTA and Booster. Our school, every week we send home like packets of flyers. They could be after school programs. They could be fundraising stuff that's going on. And we have packeteers that get together on a Wednesday. And it's a group of like 6-7 parents that staple packets for 700 kids, right? So this was the first time I could actually do it. Like, I'm like, oh, I could go because I'm not going into work. So I go and I do it. And it was so much fun. It was so great to get to do that. And that was just another part of it. And then I got the added bonus of walking away. And I have to walk by the kindergarten playground. And Jack happened to be out there. So he's screaming at me. And he's like, hey, hey. And he's like, where are you going? And I know that was a lot of, me talking about me. But my point in telling that whole story is, whether you are a stay-at-home parent or whether you are a working parent, either way, if you ever have a moment, instead of taking a family taking your vacation time, or hell, use a personal day and just find that day or two that you can take a day off, participate in what's going on at school, and get that perspective. And I know this sounds super soapboxy, and I'm sorry, but it really is nice. It really is refreshing. It is refreshing to know that if I didn't have to work, I would have a little bit more energy, and that there was a time that I wasn't working and I still felt like I didn't have energy. Perspective is huge, is all I'm trying to say. And I know I sound like a super douchosaurus because I'm making this sound like, oh, yo, perspective, that's a new concept. And I hope that's not the way it's coming across, because that's not the way I mean it. The way I mean it is that if you are a working parent and you kind of look across the street to your spouse who gets to stay home, let's say you're lucky enough to be a single income family in today's world, and you think that they have a great life. In a lot of ways, they do. But there's bad to everything. And that it's grass is always greener during that moment. If I had to do this for another month, I would guess next week I would always be like, fuck this, I want to go back to work. But it is a nice little battery charger to have this little time. Instead of us taking a family vacation and going somewhere, I feel like I get more battery recharging from taking a week off while the kids are in school and being able to volunteer in the room or do that kind of stuff or just make a breakfast. And if my wife was here, I could give her a relaxation. You know, she could just kind of chill. Or my wife and I could take the same time off, get the kids to school, and then we have 6 hours of date night for a week. That would be a great way to recharge batteries. I don't know. Just throwing it out there. Food for thought. When I come back, I wanted to talk to you about something else that I will figure out. I'm very good at this. Okay, here's what I want to talk to you about. I had a conversation, and I turned this into a pitch for the people at the fantastic KFI, but I have not shared it with you people. I had a conversation at pickup the other day with a mom, and she was talking to me about the joys of Costco. Now, I don't know if you have a Costco in your hometown, but if you do, I think that everyone is well aware of this fact. If there is a Costco, there are people who love Costco. They adore Costco. They think Costco is the greatest thing in the world. And then there are people like me who don't give a rat's ass about Costco. Because I feel like you have to have like Duggar level family numbers that you, it has to be John and Kate plus eight after a divorce. And now we don't talk to each other and our show got canceled. Because I know that there is deliciousness there. I know that there's the whole thing. You go around lunchtime and you can have a lunch of just samples. I get all that. I understand it. But like the need, I feel like, and this is what I said to her, I feel like Scientology is to religion what Costco is to grocery stores. Now, by that, I'm sure that some of you have some idea that Scientology is a little kooky as far as a religion goes. It's not a real religion and all that. And there is an element of that in my point. But more of what my point is that you either have people who look at Scientology or are indifferent to it, or you have people who are completely bought into it and they think everybody should be doing it and having their thetas read or whatever it is. Because this woman, when I told her that we don't go to Costco, anybody who finds out I don't go to Costco that is a Costcoite, all they want to do is tell me about why I should be going to Costco, which is ingenious because you never really see, at least I haven't, a Costco television commercial or a Costco radio commercial. They don't need it because they get these people to pay. They pay for membership to get into a grocery store. You have to enter a Costco as a paid member. You are paying money to enter a Costco as if you are entering a foreign land. You have to hold up identification to say, yes, I am allowed into this elite lounge of oversized assorted muffins. Yes, I will be here to buy and just casually walk by caskets for sale. And that is what I have purchased for, to get into long lines. And I don't even think you could use a credit card there anymore. Anyway, or unless you have their credit card, I'm sure they have to have some. I think they had a deal with American Express and now that's going away. But anyway, then not only are you paying, I don't know what it is, what, $80 a year? I should have looked this up. But you're paying that to have your items checked out. And I remember that experience. I like the boxes, but they don't give you bags. Now, if you live in Southern California or California now, you don't get bags anyway unless you're getting charged for them. But I just remember the added extra convenience of oversized items and then there being no real convenient way to carry them. They would use the old boxes, which I liked. I liked it for the sustainability. I liked that you could put, you know, all of your gigantic gallons of mayonnaise and your assorted Tyson chicken frozen tender things. And you put them in a box and then those get stacked and then you get to unload them. And then now you have to figure out what you do with the fucking boxes. But so I get that part of it. But then it was always the walkout that hates me. Hold on, I got a cough. Okay, I made a mistake. I had to clear my throat, and now I'm back, and I'm good. So the added part about leaving the store, this is the part I don't like, is that if you are trying to get out of the store, and any place that does this, where they want to check your receipt to make sure you're not shoplifting, I know they do this a lot at the Best Buy, and I don't understand how somebody could just walk out with a 52-inch television without somebody knowing, hey, that guy didn't pay for that. And I feel like whatever lower ticket items, you should have insurance to cover it. But I know, maybe you live in a bad neighborhood where people are constantly stealing from you. So I let that slide, but I hate it. It's like I'm being bothered by patronizing. I'm being treated like a criminal just for coming in to your establishment. But when you have, on top of that, the added thing of being a member, I'm a member to the secret civilization, and now you're going to check me as I leave. And people always say the same thing to me. They say, well, they don't really check. They're there to kind of give a glance and they mark it with a highlighter, I think is what they do. To me, that's even worse. You're not even going to check. So now I have the added insult of feeling like you don't trust me, even though I'm a member. And you're just going to not even check. So even if I was going to walk out of there with some frozen meatballs, you're not going to catch it. So now it's just a waste of everybody's time. The other thing people love to bring up about Costco is the pizza. They always want to talk about, oh, the pizza. And I get it. The pizza is fairly priced. It is, I'm sure, amazing. And I think I've had a slice in my day. But, I mean, realistically, how good is your quality of life? Let me tell you something. You know what's great about Yelp? Yelp could give you an opportunity to have and find a delightful lunch that is a place that you probably would never go before otherwise, right? And sure, maybe you'll pay an extra $5, $10. But don't you think you're worth it? I mean, at what point in your life do you say, you know what? I'm better than a $6 pizza. I deserve some fresh ingredients on top. I deserve a dough that was kneaded by a man or a woman in a kitchen where they're sprinkling flour. I want to know what that experience is like. I don't know. I feel like I'm there. Now, I'm not all lifestyles of the rich and famous. I'm not independently wealthy. I would love to be. I wish, this podcast would be a great gig. But I just feel like you're better than a Costco frozen pizza, whether you take it home frozen or you buy it from their little food court outside. The other thing that they told me is the rotisserie chicken. How it just falls off the bone. It's a great way to. Now, I haven't had that, so I can't speak on that. I'm only throwing it in there because I know, I'm pretty sure, I say a lot of offensive things on this show, and I'm almost 100% positive that most of the comments that I'm going to get is from this episode, because there are so many people who adore Costco. And to those people, I have prepared this, because I do like to represent both sides. And I thought, there's got to be something about Costco. I'm going to do some digging, and maybe I could find like a seedy underbelly to Costco, or maybe I find some good. And there is a lot of good to Costco, but I found these interesting facts that I would like to share with y'all. The Costco's first store was a converted airplane hangar. It was in San Diego, is what I'm by, and it was a hangar that was once owned by Howard Hughes. And it's on Morena Boulevard in San Diego. The store only sold to small businesses who could invite non-business members. So if you had a small business, you could get people in, and it was more of a secret club experience. Costco's main layout is called the racetrack. They purposely put fresh fruit at the back of the store to make sure that their customers pass by every category of items, electronics, clothing, jewelry, as they wind their way down the racetrack. Now, here's the thing that I think is very interesting. Costco sells over 100 million pounds of fresh ground beef every year. That's $4.5 billion of meat every year on top of $4 billion worth of produce. The rotisserie chicken, they sell 103,000 of them every day. That's over 37 million chickens a year. Now, here's one that that really blew my mind. Those Buck 50 hot dogs. Do you know that they sell 100 million hot dogs every year? And that to be able to keep them at that $1.50 price, they started their own hot dog facility in Central California. So they make those hot dogs themselves. They have no public relations staff because there is no need for them to market or do anything because the Costcoites do it for them. Here's another thing. Costco buys half of the world's supply of cashews. Did you know that? Half of the world's supply of cashews, and they sell $300,000 worth of cashews every week. Now, here's the real kicker that I think a lot of people know this, but I just never put a two and two together. Costco makes virtually no profit on the stuff it sells. So they have a maximum of 14% markup on the items in the store. But on average, it's 8 to 10% is all that they have on a markup. Now, if it's a Kirkland signature brand, that's got a 15% markup. 80% of the company's gross profit actually comes from the membership, which is between $55 and $110. And it's got 64 million members. So that's $1.5 billion annually profit. Nearly 90% of its customers renew their membership every single year. So Costcoites who think I should still be drinking the Kool-Aid or eating the rotisserie chicken aid, please feel free to send me your emails. Let's talk some flag football, my friends, and do some moment of the week. All right. So I've been doing this flag football thing, and this is why I wanted to put it here, because it kind of ties into a little bit of moment of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Dad Gear. All your child traveling needs packed into stylish, practical perfection. Designed by real dads for real dads and moms. Don't be the guy with a diaper purse. Be the man with the Dad Gear diaper backpack. Go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Dad Gear logo on the right-hand side. It's made in the USA.
So I've been coaching this flag football. I think I mentioned this already. I bought there's a flag football app, and I made a playbook of 36 plays, and there was all these pass plays, and I get to be the dad who's filled with pride watching my son be a quarterback. It's the position he wanted to play. But there's some interesting parts that have popped up as a parent. And if this resonates with you, please send me an email. But one of the things that came up recently is that if I'm coaching the team and something happens with my kid, right, I can't really stop what I'm doing to sit down, especially because they're so young. So like if they get hurt, and I'm not talking about like a compound fracture where there's a shin bone sticking out of their calf. I'm talking about I got a little scratch on my knee, stuff that normally I would say, hey, rub some dirt on it, walk it off. You're going to be fine. Right. But there is that kind of weirdness where you're around other parents and you parent differently. You know what I mean? There is as shameful as it may be, you parent differently when you're around other people. And my son was, I talked about it before where he had a rough game, and now we've played our second game. We lost again, but we're getting better, and even he's getting better. But one of the things that I think is great, and this is what I wanted and hoped that sports would do for him, is that anytime things were going well for Jacob as the quarterback, he was having an emotional breakdown. I was actually just today talking about this with a listener who was going through something similar with their son. And I told him, I kind of pulled him aside, and there were all the parents. We had to set up a tent. It's like the first game was, it was rainy, it was freezing cold, and then now all of a sudden it's 90 degrees and we're trying to keep the kids hydrated and we're using ice and towels to keep them cool, and it's just, ugh. But it's also, that's what you want. I don't know, maybe I'm a dick, but I want that struggle. I want them to have that rough go. And so Jacob had a rough series at quarterback. We weren't able to score the first time like we wanted to. We tried to throw the ball a couple times and it wasn't working. We couldn't get it caught, a catch, or he could get the ball off each time we tried. And he comes off, and I said, listen, I said, and he's getting all red eyes, and all the parents are kind of going, "Hey, man, what's going on? What's going on?" And I just kind of pull him aside, and I said, "Hey, you got to help me out. You can't have an emotional breakdown every time something doesn't go your way. I've told you, you got to take deep breaths, and you got to focus." I said, "But you got to get it together for me, because I got a whole team that I got to help out, and it's not just about you," which I hope he took in the way that it was intended. Not that I don't give a rat's ass about you. I do care, because as I talked about last week, it can be gut-wrenching. But I think it's an important lesson for him to understand. That's why we do a team sport. That's the concept, is that you have to learn to think beyond your sphere. Like, you can't walk through life with blinders on. So I said, I gotta get plays ready. I got to talk to the other kids. I said, so I can't come over here and kind of rebuild. So I need you to start to learn to do this on your own, because I've given you the tools to do it. Now you got to use those tools. Later on the game, he got a little bit better, but then now he's playing on defense too. So he's playing both sides of the ball, which was new this week. And I did this thing, and I bring this up because it was a moment of the week, not for him as a father, but the other way around, I hope, and that it was a moment where something clicked for me as a dad. It's not something I normally would do, and I throw it out there, not because, listen, I'm better than anybody. We all know that I'm a subpar father at best. But just in case you find yourself in the same rut that I was in, maybe this will be a way for you to knock yourself out of it. He was on the sideline, and I could see him getting upset. And I remember what Rachel said to me at last episode we did, where she said, literally smiling causes your brain to release the chemicals that will make you happy, even if you fake it. So I said to him, I said, "Hey, smile. Have a good time. All right, quit moping around." I said, "Just try it. Smile, and it'll make you feel better." And he smiled, and I'm not joking. He instantly started giggling at me. So then all of a sudden I went, "Oh, my God, that's the problem." Instead of telling him to take a deep breath, which I think is sound advice, but in his case, tell him to put a smile, and he laughs it off, and it snaps him out of it in less than 3 seconds. So then I'm like, "Have some fun. Play some football." And it knocked me out of my thing where I, as the coach, wanted to be like, I got to prepare them. I got to be on my game because I've never coached a team before. I got to do all these things. And it made me realize that these kids are young, right? And that, yes, I should be focused. I should be teaching them fundamentals of football. But more than that, this should be the time that they should really be having a good time and having fun. So I start screwing around with the kids. I start, when we're going through blocking drills, there's a kid who's a little bit larger, and he hits me. Like, and he slaps him. I'm like, "Hey, don't be picking on this old man." One kid was, I was lined up because we don't have enough to have both defense and offense. And another kid, I lined up across from him, and he goes, "Hey, there's something burning." And there was like a smell, like somebody had started a fire or a barbecue nearby where we were practicing. And I said, "That's his shoes, because they're about to burn you." You know, kind of just having fun and teasing them. And all of a sudden, the mood kind of lightened, and everybody started having a little bit more fun, and I think kind of playing a little bit better. So for me, it was a great thing to watch Jacob now be able to smile, find this new tool that he could use to kind of knock himself out of this pressure that he puts on himself and enjoy. And we still lost, but everybody still had a good time and still had fun. So that's a little bit of that moment of the week. Jack, my younger son, not a proud moment, and I did not see it, but I heard it from another coach. It's one of those things where you get to hear a level of pride from another dad, if that makes sense. But Jack is kindergartner, and he's the smallest kid on our team. And he was playing on defense because kids were getting hot, and we were rotating him in. Usually we just have him run. And I guess there was a kid who was doing like a serpentine. Like, he would run one way, cut back, because everybody overcommits. For anybody who knows anything about football, they wouldn't take the right angle, so they would run too far so he could cut back, and then that would give him a lane. So Jack was catching up, and he saw that the kid was serpentine, I guess, so he knew where he was going to go. And then when the kid cut back, Jack was right there and just leveled him in a flag football game. Not supposed to de-cleat the kid, but the kid was bigger than him, and Jack just took him down and then pulled his flag, which I kind of knew. That's Jack. He's going to be the guy that I would have to tell, don't tackle him and then pull the flag. And the kid wasn't hurt, which is why I'm okay with it. But it was a pretty adorable thing. The other moment of the week that I want to share that isn't football related, but it is that thing. Remember when I had them on the show, the thing that I learned from having them here, and I should do that again, but you get to get an idea of what seeps in, what kind of things you say or joke that really start to get into them. We went out to dinner as a family, and we were sitting there, and we went to this place because my wife said this place has good Sundays. And But then I saw the Sunday was just like a brownie Sunday or whatever. And I said, well, we could always go home because you know how you get towards the end of the night and the kids start to get tired. So I said, well, we could go home and have Sundays. And Jacob, the apple of my eye, the most beautiful boy in the world, and at this current moment, my favorite, he said, if we go home and have Sundays, it's cheaper. He said, and he goes, he said, Sundays at home, this is what I love, Sundays at home are free. He said to his mom, and she goes, oh, boy.
I go, I love you.
I hugged him in the restaurant. And then, of course, Jack sees the affection. He gets rightfully jealous and goes, yeah, Sundays at home are free. And so now my poor wife will not be able to go out. And then I got to have the fun of throwing the curveball at him. I'm like, well, everything is free for you. Even if I bought a Sunday here, it's free. You don't pay for shit. And then they, of course, laugh and have a good time. So, all right. I hope this wasn't a bad episode with me solo. I felt fair to Midland because my nose was stuffed up for some reason. I'm not sick. I don't know what's going on. Speaking of which, I don't know if I've mentioned it already, but there's a great book. There's a guy called Scott Carney. He's going around on podcasts. I heard him on Corolla's podcast. If you want to look for him, and he's got a book called What Doesn't Kill Us. And he's got me taking cold showers, which sound crazy, but oh my gosh, especially if you are a stay-at-home parent or a parent who works all day and then comes home and is jumping in with the kids, I'm telling you, as much as that 10 to 15 minutes will suck ass, it livens you up for the rest of the day. You don't have that 2 to 3 o'clock like crash that you normally do. It's awesome. Enjoy your hot shower on the weekend, right? Do that way because it just sets you up to really feel invigorated when you take that cold shower. And I know I sound like a douchosaurus again, but it's awesome. And I'm going to try and put something together to talk more about that. But anyway, that's enough for me. I don't know if I'm going to do this again unless I hear from somebody because the chat didn't work. So maybe we'll stick to the MixLR. If you want to send me an email, show at thedadpodcast.com. Give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. And if you haven't already, please join the group Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast. It's a Facebook fan group run by our very own Butcher Drew.
All right, all right, all right.
And it's a great way for you to find like-minded parents and be able to chat with other people and get to know them. It's an awesome community there. They share their own moments of the week and give advice to each other. And it's really cool what they do there. I try to stop by and check in because as a fan, like just not a fan of myself, but a fan of what they're talking about. No way I could say that it doesn't make me again sound like a douchosaurus, which is my favorite word today, evidently. MixLR.com/dadpodcast if you want to listen live, because I don't know that I'm going to switch over to this one. It doesn't seem to be working the way I would like. If you're not tired of hearing me, you could do a search on iTunes for the Producer Michelle podcast. That is the podcast I do with the producer of the Bill Handel Show over at KFI. And I got to have Natalie on here because I want to talk about Chick Fu. If you haven't heard that episode, that is a very scary episode for men to listen to. Chick Fu of the Producer Michelle podcast, where basically she talks about some kind of martial art that Jedi mind trick that women do that they use to convince us to do whatever it is we want. And I'm afraid to find out if my wife is doing it. I don't think she is, but the whole point of Chick Fu is that I wouldn't know it's happening. And that's what frightens me. Dadpodcast.com. Go down to the bottom. Click on the Amazon banner. Bookmark that as your Amazon link. Every time you buy something, Daddy gets about 5 to 10% of it. And it doesn't cost you a dime. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for telling your friends about the show. I appreciate the hell out of you. On behalf of no one, this is Justin Worship saying, hug your kids, help your loved ones, and stay frosty, my friends.